it's not giving me, it's not giving me the, this is gonna, you know, this is gonna actually happen vibes. It's it sounds like we tried.
It sounds like we tried. It sounds like. You thought I was
feeling you? Oh my goodness.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to another episode of the Black Married and Debt Free podcast. And we're happy to be with you.
I'm very happy to be here.
We're very happy to be here, Shira. How are you doing on today?
I'm doing good. You know, it's a 3-day weekend, so yes. I'm enjoying that. So happy Veterans Day to the listeners who are our veterans and who have served our country.
Yes.
But so far, so good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Excited to be able to sit down with you. I was telling you off mic that I really enjoy doing this. Like, it doesn't feel like, and I'm a guy that's like, I always think people are kind of capping when they're like, this doesn't feel like work. I'm like, what? But this really doesn't feel like work. I love sitting down with you on the weekends and recording these podcasts. So I'm doing good. And to echo your sentiment, Shire, thank you to everyone who protects our borders, those fallen soldiers and present soldiers that protect us from threats domestic and abroad. We really appreciate you. Shira, we got to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about this, this whole student loan thing, because, you know, Biden came out and he was sharing the news about student loan forgiveness for certain folks that could get up to $10,000 of student loan forgiveness, and folks with Pell Grants could get up to $20,000, and everybody was excited. Shy, we came on live, huh? We did a whole live.
Yes, it was a big announcement.
Yes. Well, the courts are weighing in and saying that that may be unlawful. So they're pretty much saying, in essence,
you thought I was feeling you?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So what do you think about this, Shy? Let's talk about this article here in Forbes. Did you want to go ahead and read it off, the title? And
we're going
to get into this. It's interesting.
Yeah. So this is an article that was published on November 11th, and it's titled Student Loan Forgiveness Application Taken Down After Court Ruling Borrowers Left in Limbo.
Yeah.
So definitely sounds like there is some uncertainty with this whole program. So it says the Education Department has shut down the application for borrowers to apply for President Biden's one-time student loan forgiveness initiative. A federal court struck down the program as illegal, putting the plan in serious jeopardy. A Texas-based federal court ruled on Thursday that Biden's sweeping student loan forgiveness plan is illegal.
Ouch.
Biden's one-time debt cancellation initiative would have provided $10,000 or more in student loan forgiveness to tens of millions of borrowers who met loan and income eligibility criteria. A federal judge, a Trump appointee, ruled that Biden's plan was an unconstitutional exercise of Congress's legislative power. He declared the program unlawful and blocked its implementation. Mm. Thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we are coming off of midterm, you know, political season. And so we're going to keep this as, you know, as least political as possible, but we're going to have to go there a little bit. How much of it, and Shire, because you're going to have to refresh my memory on what your take was on this whole thing. So
okay.
I'm going to ask you that. But how much of this is political, like you said, a Trump appointee? Of course, the Trump administration and the Biden administration are pretty much the Bloods and the Crips, right?
Marcus.
So we know that anything one does, the other is going to try to put the kibosh on it. How much of it is that, and how much of it is like, yeah, this is kind of like unlawful, and unlawful in the respect of like those institutions. Because here's the thing I never understood, Shire. Sorry, I know I'm asking like 30 questions. You come out, you say, we're going to forgive student loan forgiveness. Do those institutions get paid by the government? Are the government going to like step in and pay the $10K for the students, or do they just erase it? That's what I didn't understand.
Yeah, so, I don't know that I even know the ins and outs of that question because, you know, it has been some years since the federal government became like one of the main providers, you know, of student loans. And so my assessment is that, you know, many folks owe the government and it is the government saying that they will forgive, you know, so much money. Right. Now, I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. I think what I just said was probably an oversimplification of what it means in dollars and cents and what's actually happening. The other piece about it being political is that, you know, this program was for people with student loan debts. And I mean, that's going to be Democrat people
and Republicans.
So I'm just saying that it's an issue in our country.
It's an American problem, not a party problem.
It's not a party problem. But is it lawful? I mean, as the president, I would think that the president would know the law.
Yeah.
I would think that the president would, you know, check to make sure that any program that he is rolling out is lawful.
Right. That upsets me. Right there.
Because why would you want to get people's hopes up? Like, you know, we look to leaders to do what they say they are going to do. No one made him do this. Mm-hmm. And we learned from Drew Hill many, many years ago that I'll never make a promise that I can't keep. So it's just like, you know, this is, you know, if they're not able to do this program, I think that it could hurt him.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes time for that 2024, you know, yeah. I guess the next election cycle. But there's so many people who would have benefited from this program. So I don't know if it's lawful. I know that a lot of people had a lot of different opinions about it.
Yeah, I think the not overwhelming majority, but a lot of people in opposition, their viewpoint is it's going to come back to bite us in some way. Yeah, you could say, hey, this is a federal issued loan. So now as a federal government, it's easy for us to just say, don't worry about it. But I think the cynical view of many people in opposition is like, yeah, sounds good. But at some point, this is going to come back to bite the people either via tax or, you know, just people have a lot of issues with it. One of which, like I said, is going to come back to bite us, the people who aren't involved, or folks are saying you're treating the symptom, but you're not attacking the problem by doing this. You're kind of just putting a Band-Aid on a severed leg.
You're right. Like, this is a really big issue.
Yeah.
And it is a Band-Aid, but it was a welcome Band-Aid for folks that have student loans. And for me, it's like, wow, is this serious? Because if you read on in the article, it says that courts have issued orders blocking our student debt relief program. This is a quote. As a result, at this time, we are not accepting applications, reads a message on the application website. Both the paper application and online application are no longer available for borrowers who have not yet applied. So, like, it just sounds like they are just shutting it down.
Shutting it down. We need to regroup. We jumped out there. To your point, to your first point, Shire, we jumped out there. with this good news and we didn't do all of our homework to see, you know, what the pushback would be. We knew there would be pushback, but we thought we was going to be able to put the slap that big joker on the table, and it didn't happen that way. And so,
yes.
Now talk about folks, Shire, that have people already applied? Like,
absolutely.
So what's that situation? You know what I mean? Has money been given?
No.
Okay. Okay.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Wow. I mean, unless y'all know someone who's received the money, I don't think so. This is a quote that says, if you've already applied, we'll hold your application. It says a message on the application website. The education department is offering borrowers the option to subscribe for updates so they can be notified if and when the program can resume. So for the 26 million borrowers who have already given the Department of Education the necessary information to be considered for debt relief, 16 million of whom have already been approved for relief, the department will hold on to their information so it can quickly process their relief once they prevail in court. This is an end quote. So when I hear that someone is going to hold on to their application, like, think about, you know, back in the day when we had paper applications,
yeah,
and you would walk into an establishment and say, you know, I want to turn in my application and resume. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, we'll hold it for you,
yeah,
or we'll keep it on file. Like,
ooh, like, that hurts.
Yes.
That hurts.
Yes.
We'll keep it on
file. Yes. Like, that just, it doesn't, it's not giving me the, this is going to, you know, this is going to actually happen,
yeah,
vibes. It's,
yeah,
just, it sounds like we tried.
It sounds like we tried. It sounds like. You thought I was
feeling you? No. Oh my goodness.
It just sounds like it's not going to happen in the way you thought. You know what I mean? And that's unfortunate. Now, Shire, so I want to know what your thoughts, if you could take us back. What were your thoughts when this whole thing was rolled out? I know we had not mixed feelings, but
yeah,
what did we think about this? I'm trying, you know, to remember.
Yeah. You know, I think we were optimistic a little bit, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, but I was kind of thinking, like, where is the money going to come from?
Yes.
Like, where is the money coming from?
Yes.
And, you know, if I had student loans, then I would definitely want those to be forgiven. Right. But, you know, we made the sacrifice to pay off my student loans. I'm very grateful for that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I took a hard stance.
Yeah, we didn't have too hard of a
but
stance on it.
But I did have my criticisms, right, of the program.
Yeah. Well, I guess they were merited because the program looks like it's kind of a failure. Like, no one's gotten forgiveness. They've put the hold on it. I don't know how long things get tied up in court for months, years, even. And
yes,
if Biden can't get this figured out while he's in office, which he only has 10 years left, or 2 years left.
Ooh, you said 10.
10 years,
ooh, he's prophesying 10.
He only has 2 years left. And, you know, if he get, there's another Democratic candidate, if he decides not to run, or if a Republican candidate takes over, they're not going to push this through, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I was looking to see if there was any comments, been, you know, the article is relatively new, so there aren't many comments on here, but one person did comment saying that it's kind of funny how this happened after the midterms were done,
man.
And so I don't know, I know that there's a lot of topics on people's minds right now, and This was definitely one of them. I don't know if it played a role in how elections turned out, and I'm really hoping that everyone voted, you know, because that's what we should be doing. But I don't know. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, I feel like every administration wants to have their white whale, right? Their Moby Dick, their thing that they capture. That's like, well, I did this, you know, during my tenure, you know, with Obama, it was Obamacare, and with Trump, I don't remember what it was, but anyway,
I don't know.
I forget. I don't know. It was kind of a blur.
Well, things were going okay until the pandemic. Then after that,
yeah.
Well, you know what? I, Let's just not even go.
Let's not even go there. But Biden wanted to hang his hat on this, I think. And like, how cool would that have been? Like, yeah, while I was in office, I cut, you know, I helped all these many people get out of student loan debt or cut back their student loan debt significantly.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's not even going to happen. So that person has a point. Like, man, it's crazy that after the mid, like, had this come out before the midterms, like, really hard like this, it maybe, you know, maybe it has some different results, some different outcomes because of it. But I don't know, man. I feel bad for the people. But this is what I want to say. I feel like the forgiveness piece, Shire, should have been the icing on a cake to a bigger plan.
Yes.
Like a plan to, like,
lower interest rates.
We're going to lower interest rates. You know, we're going to have penalties for predatory lending, or, you know, just like more regulations on institutions that give student loans, or like just a bigger overall sweeping program. And to top it off, guys, to kind of, you know, we're going to cut off 10,000 of everyone. I feel like that would have been better, because you would have been addressing the bigger problem.
Yeah.
And then maybe, because I think a lot of these courts, they just see like, oh, you just going to like erase some folks' debt and like, that's it. What is your plan going forward? And I think when you don't have that, they're just like, so you just want to print up some money and just erase people's debt. Nah, that's not lawful.
And it's not even the entire debt.
Yeah.
So like,
so what are we doing here?
Yeah. So, you know, like, the average, sure, they're thinking that. Yeah. The average student loan debt, I have to look, maybe I'll just Google it now.
Let's,
but
Google
I know
it now,
for, sorry, like,
we got time.
For like, sure, black women was like 30K. Mm. You know, so what is the average student loan debt for an American? So I'm just saying that in many cases, you're not wiping out the debt in its entirety. Mm-hmm. Now, Marcus, correct me if I'm wrong,
yes,
but is there not already a student loan debt forgiveness program that basically says if you work in certain sectors and you make all of your payments for,
yes,
10 years,
yes,
that they would, you know, erase the debt?
Yes.
Now, I don't know of anyone that has done this.
Actually gone through that.
Maybe there's someone, but why wouldn't they just improve that program? So
improve
instead of 10 years, maybe it's 5 years or... Mm-hmm. You know, like, there are just so many other things that they could have done that would have been beneficial that may have not been blocked in the courts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that you drive home a good point there. So, Shire, yeah, like you were saying, the average student loan debt continues to hover around $30,000. So,
okay,
even the 10K, it's like I'm still left with a whopping
$20,000. So, like, and what problem did it solve? You still have to make...
And let's be very clear, Shire, the problem, $30,000 is very doable, very manageable. The problem is the interest.
Okay.
The interest is what could take that $30,000,
well,
and turn it to $60,000. It's like, what type of interest make my money go up? Like, that's insane.
Your loan amount.
Makes, yeah, make
your
my,
loan
makes
amount
my loan
go
amount
up.
Go up.
And then also, it's just
fix
like...
Fix that.
Yeah, fix that. And then also, $30,000 is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so you have to be making a good salary, right? To be able to pay your student loan,
yeah,
take care of your needs, your family. If you want to buy a house, if you want to save for retirement, mm-hmm, like, you're going to have a nice salary to be able to manage a debt load like that. So,
yeah,
also, this really makes me think of the fact that the government doesn't really have solutions.
No, they don't.
To problems that,
yeah,
folks are having. If,
yeah,
if you think about what you just said about how these high interest rates are coming from the government.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you all created a problem. Like, mm-hmm, you created the problem. You're part of it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I know I heard a quote that said problems cannot be solved in the context in which they were created.
Mm.
So it's almost like you all created this problem. Well, maybe not entirely, but
right,
you contributed to this problem. Now you think you have the solution. Clearly you don't.
Yeah.
Because once you came up with the solution, it was blocked by the courts. And so it's, I don't know. I guess it's just a reminder that You just kind of have to have a plan for your life.
Plan for your
and
for your situation.
While it would be great for this program to exist or this one-time support to exist, mm-hmm. it might not come to pass. And now you're stuck holding a bag, right? Mm-hmm. And you're stuck with having to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because the government is not going to save us.
Right. And Shire, so let's kind of go here. You know, me and you had these conversations off air about our children and them going to college and what that is going to look like for us, the parents and stuff like that. So like for folks who going forward, like if you're caught up in this whole student loan, what do they call it, Shire? The student loan crisis. There you go. You kind of know what the game is, right? The one is, if there's going to be a bailout, it's going to be very hard to get it through. Most likely there won't be a bailout. And if there is, if it does get through, it's going to be for a portion of the money and not. So we're kind of like left to have to figure, you're going to have to figure this out on your own. But going forward, because a lot of our demographic, Shire, is 26 to 44, mm-hmm. with a lot of kids our age, right?
Our kids' age,
you know. Yeah. You know, elementary, junior high, stuff like that. Maybe some high school. But so what it does it look like for your children? I'm speaking to the listeners now. You know, think about that. Think about how you're going to go at it different or help them go at it differently than you did or your generation did. I think that's important. And so for us, you know, Shire, what do you think about when you think about our kids and them going to college? I know me and you talk about, you know, helping them significantly, maybe helping them cash flow college year by year or having them, you know, just what, like, give me, you want to talk about like our strategy that sometimes we talk about, like with our kids, if that's start at junior college, finish your 2 years of junior college, prereqs, and then go to the 4 years, you know, school. Do you want to get into some of that? I like those conversations me and you have. So let's, you know, what you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think in...
Because I love what you did, Shai. I think what you did, you're a good example, too.
I'm a good example, and I'm a lesson, too, because yeah. I had a lot of loans, and I didn't need to take out all those loans.
Right. Take out what you need.
You know, of course, there's lessons that we can pass on to... our children, of course, yeah. they're going to hear it.
Yeah.
But then it's also like, what will college look like in, you know, 10 years?
Good question.
You know, I mean, there are certainly things that folks can do. You can do a 529 plan. You can, I mean, you're able to help. A lot of parents are helping their kids in adulthood. Mm-hmm. But there are some unknowns as well. Yeah. I know in California that if you do go to community college, that first year is free. So that is definitely a positive thing. So it is kind of like, you know, look for ways.
Options, look at your ways.
Right.
Sorry, I know I'm kind of throwing stuff at you. Talk about your junior college experience and how that played a part in you getting your bachelor's. Because I know like a lot of folks just... I don't know what they think about junior college. Do they think it's not really college? Do they think it's a waste of time? But Shire, you did it. You did the junior college thing. What made you, how did you know? Or what was, I just walk me through that. What made you say, I'm going to go to junior college first, and then I'm going to transfer to a 2 year or 4 year school and finish out my last 2 years. How did you even think to do that? Because a lot of people don't even do that.
It like, was I feel what like, I could afford.
Right. So out of necessity.
Right, it's what I could afford at the time. And, you know, a lot of community colleges, they have a transfer agreement. So in California, they have those transfer agreements where as long as you take certain classes and you pass certain classes, you're automatically guaranteed entrance into some of the UC schools or some of the state schools. They even have transfer agreements with historically black colleges, which is really cool to see. So, I mean, there are definitely ways to reduce the cost of college, but it is also, you know, partly an unknown, like what is it going to be for our children? How much is it going to cost? And then how in the world do I balance trying to have something for them while also saving for my own retirement? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and my financial, you know, obligations to myself. So when they're older, I'm not looking at them to take care of me. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say, well, you know, instead of saving for retirement, I paid for your college, so now you need to take care of me.
Right.
Like, I never want that to happen as well, you know? So it's just like,
I
don't know.
Find that balancing act. That's why I think for us, it'll be more of a cash flow model. I think, first of all, we're going to do everything to help reduce the cost, right? Like, you're going to take advantage of that free year. That's 1 year. You ain't got to pay nothing.
Right.
Then that second year will be at a junior college. You get that degree. And then you just kind of have to start with cash flow your way through the next couple years. And I think for me and you, Shire, when you did your master's degree, we cash flowed that. And we were still saving. And we were still doing, you know what I mean? So there's ways to do it. Was it tough? Yeah. But after those 2 years, you walk away no debt. You got your degree. Now you can make your degree work for you. So I think it'll probably be something like that.
Right.
For us.
You know, I think that community college is a great place to start if you don't know what you want to do, because I'm sure I changed my major a couple of times and stayed, you know, stayed there for a while. So if you don't, you know quite what you want to do, then that's a great place to explore and then not have, you know, not have that pressure of, the you know, so much expenses, I guess.
Because you'd be like, man, I can't fail no class. I'm paying X amount of dollars for this class and this and that.
Yeah.
Whereas junior college, you like, you know what, man? You know,
is it too late to get a refund? Pressure. I think I would get a refund.
a little less pressure. You're right about that.
So I don't know, but I think that this whole situation is definitely an eye opener.
It's an eye opener.
It would be great for there to be education reform in our country. Like, we need it. But at the same time, this is a lesson that, you know, we might have to figure some things out on our own.
Yes.
And if we do, then let's start having these conversations now. Let's start making some plans now to see how we might be able to navigate in the future.
Shire, I like how you did that. I like how you closed that out. There ain't nothing to add to that. Ain't no yeast to put on that right there.
Oh my goodness.
That's good stuff. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Black Married Debt-Free Podcast. If you did, do us a huge favor and leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And we want to give you a gift. So once you do that, roll on over and email us blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com. Let us know you left that review. And we're going to respond with our Get Out of Debt and Start Building Wealth Masterclass. We're going to be giving you that completely free for the holiday season. We're feeling pretty generous. Am I right, Shire?
Yes.
So we appreciate you guys downloading. We're coming up, Shire. I was saying earlier, we're coming up on 900,000.
Oh my goodness.
Downloads, man. We're trying to get to that million, y'all. Yeah. So we really appreciate you guys. Shire, any final thoughts on your end?
No, I mean, wow. To that stat right there.
It's crazy. So, all right, y'all. Well, we're going to get out of here and we're going to holler at y'all on the next episode. Peace.
Bye.